We are from North Carolina. My wife and I grew up in Norwood, North Carolina. We grew up going to the same church, and God took us from there to Wisconsin. We started a couple works there, and God put us on the road. We traveled in evangelism, helping small churches and church planters for 8 years. And I was preaching somewhere. I don't know where. I can't remember. But I was preaching on the need for churches in America. Now, don't get me wrong. The world needs churches. And I suppose, I don't know, there's probably many reasons why he hadn't really sent me to a foreign field. Although, if you look at Paul's life, Paul preached his whole life in his home nation. Most people look at Paul and they call him a foreign missionary. He preached his whole life in his home nation. Right. He never left his nation. And I'm not saying that we should not go to foreign fields. We should. Hallelujah. I'm for it. And but anyway, I was preaching somewhere, and I said, I was talking about needing churches in America. And I made this statement. I said, my hometown does not have an independent Baptist church. And when I said that, I looked around to see where it come from. And I couldn't forget it. And God took us back to our hometown. We've been through a whole lot of struggles and a lot of things. And we've actually, well, I just, we anyway, 3 years ago last month, God opened the door for us to get the use of an old Primitive Baptist church building. And we went in there and began to work on it and fix it up and put out mailers and begin to hold services in there. And I'd like to tell you that there's 100 people coming. I'd like to tell you there's 20 people coming. But I can tell you that we're still there and still preaching and still trying. And we want to do more. Well, God, much I could tell you about that. But we did print up some pictures and little info on us. If you want one, we got some of those, and I want to share that with you. We appreciate this church. We appreciate your pastor and those that we had already met. And I'm glad to see you're still here.
Amen.
All right. When we traveled in evangelism, we would go to churches, and sometimes we'd go back and we'd say, "Where's so and so?" Well, they don't come anymore. That break your heart. And so I'm glad to see y'all still here. Hallelujah. I'm honored to be here. And we're thinking about missions. And Brother Lando's right. If God gets your heart, he'll have your pocketbook. Amen. Ain't no problem with that. It works every time. And so I'm not a money plea guy. I'm not going to give you sad stories and show sad pictures and sing "People Need the Lord" and da 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 da, and then try to get you to sign a big commitment and that kind of stuff. If our heart's right, we ain't got to worry about that. I like emotion. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you done seen me. I done. You know, you probably tried to need somebody to interpret what I was saying, but I done got a little bit excited. And it's nothing about our language. I was preaching one time in Superior, Wisconsin, many years ago. And when I was finished preaching, the pastor got up and he said, "I need to apologize to the church." He said, "Next time we have Brother Henson, we'll have an interpreter." And He said, "You didn't know hell had three syllables." And so if you need an interpreter, see my wife and she'll straighten it out for you. And don't ask her about us talking weird, because she's already figured you talk weird. So anyway, we'll enjoy it. Hallelujah. I like it. I God has been so good to us. I am honored to be here. I hate we didn't get here last year for camp meeting. I am glad for what God did. I had kidney stones. I had a 1-inch kidney stone in my right kidney, and the one in my left kidney was twice that size. And I think the Friday before your meeting started, they were going into my back with an instrument and removing through the skin into my kidney and removing the stone. And so I wasn't in a condition to get here, but praise the Lord, it's better now. And covet your prayers and appreciate, again, the opportunity to be here. Appreciate what we've already enjoyed, just the sweet presence of God. I like that. I like it. I mean, we can just fall out on the floor and cry a while, be all right with me. And some people, you know, the Sandy Creek Revival, there was a guy by the name of Morgan Edwards who wrote a lot of Baptist history in the early years of our nation. And he went down from the Philadelphia Association down to Sandy Creek to see what was going on down there in North Carolina, where them people talk weird. And so he came down there and he found out they didn't just talk weird, they acted weird in his opinion. He said, man, no, he didn't write it this way, but he said, they got women preachers. Oh, by the way, you said bring up women, didn't you? There you go. You can go read Morgan Edwards' history. He said they have women preachers. But when you read it and study it, what he's talking about is the women's testimonies. They weren't preaching. They weren't in the position of a pastor. They weren't out of order, but they gave testimony. And it's so powerful that he called them women preachers. And God's been good to us and many things that we can look back and enjoy about that and enjoy those sweet times and precious times. And I like missions. It's very, very important. I've already mentioned I'm not going to, I like emotion that comes from truth.
Amen.
Not when we try to build doctrine from emotion.
Right.
All right. Because there's emotion here tonight does not teach or start or institute a doctrine.
Amen.
The emotion is from, I saw that when I walked in. I love that verse. Unto him be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. I love that verse. He gets glory in the church. And so many things that we would like to say and want to be obedient to the Lord, though. Want to be where He wants us to be and say what He wants us to say. And so, in dealing with missions, we find that faith promise missions is commonly found in, taught a lot from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And a lot of things there. But if you were to look in 2 Corinthians, a whole lot of stuff in that. One thing that he says that Paul writes in that letter, 2 Corinthians, let's see, if I'm in chapter 13, he says, examine yourselves, verse number 5, and I'm going to be all over in Scripture most likely. But he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. A lot of things we could say there. But he says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. You said something a few minutes ago, Brother Lando, that I want to take you back to Acts 1. This ain't in any notes I got. This is in the notes I just got. And go back there to Acts 1 for a moment. And look at there in Acts chapter number 1. And drop down from the verses where he was, and you know what's going on there. Jesus told them to meet him on the Mount of Olives, and the Bible says in verse number 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, now pause right there. There's a big little word. What's that next word? Here's a question. Is that singular or plural? It's plural. Who are these angels talking to? This is the first church, right? So he says, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, I want you to notice that next word, we come back and say something about it, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Now the angel said, Jesus, as you watch him go up, he shall come in like manner. Now I got a question. Is there anything that you've got to do for Jesus to come? Is he going to come whether you do anything or not? He said he shall come. Mark it down. Take it to the bank. You can count on it. I don't care what else happens, how bad it gets. He's coming. Amen. Because it says in the book, shall come again. You can count on it. Right? Now, so we think that word shall is pretty definite. We all in agreement on that, right? I mean, we ain't got to draw, we ain't got to dissect that. We ain't even got to go to the Greek. All right? I mean, it's just, you know, right there in front of us. Everybody with me? All right? Back up. Back up to verse number 8. But what's the next word? That's singular or it's plural. Who is it? First church. But ye, what's the next word? Now, whatever one of us read is that if I'm doing right, this is going to happen. That's not what it said. Am I? Are y'all with me? But ye, church, shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So he told the first church, there's some power coming, and it's going to come. It shall come upon you, church. I say this over and over and over. God did not save you to be a super Christian. God saved you to be a faithful church member.
Amen. That's good. That's right. Amen.
You want to fight, you want to deal with you know, when you get discouraged and you can't handle it and you don't, you know where you, this is where you need to be.
Amen.
God has given you a body to help you. That's why when the one hurts, the whole body hurts. And the body is here to encourage and to strengthen and to build you up and to help you in that time. And so he was talking about some are singing and some are leading music and all this other stuff. And what do you got something to do here.
Amen.
And it's important.
Amen.
It is very, very, very important. It may not get the recognition, but it is important. But he said to that church, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now let's read a little bit further. And, what's the next word? Who is it? What's the next word? Again, what's that say? Ye shall be. But what we read was, I ought to be.
Yeah, that's good.
That's what we read. I'm putting we, me too. I ought to be a witness. That's not what it says.
Come on. Amen.
It said, Jesus said, church, power's coming. That's why he says in the Great Commission, all power's given unto me, go ye therefore. To the first church. And he said, power's coming. It shall come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses.
Amen.
See, what we read was, if I'm doing right, I'll get the power, and I ought to be a witness. But that is not what it says.
Amen.
Well, you going to preach it when I... how do you know I'm not being a witness? You and God know. Me and God know. And so when I read that, you're going, well, wait a minute. You said, yeah, what's going on? Well, then we got to start asking a question. Where am I in my relationship with my church?
Amen.
Because he said the church shall be.
Yeah, that's good. Amen.
We don't need to be. Who planted the spinach?
Wow.
Ray, you planted spinach. Did you see it coming up? You ain't gone out there to look at it.
Yeah, I did.
You went out there and looked at it. Is it coming up?
Yes.
Are you going to go out there tomorrow and go, come on now, you can be spinach. Come on. You can do it. Come on. Come on now. Damone, you're spinach. You can be spinach. Come on. There you go. Come on. You can be spinach. I know you can do it. You're not going to do that? Why not? If spinach don't come up, we got problems, don't we?
Amen.
If the church ain't a witness, we got problems.
That's good.
We got problems.
That's good.
He didn't say you ought to be. He said you will be. By the way, he didn't say you ought to have power. He said you will have.
That's right. Amen.
He said you will have. A lot of people disagree with me, and that's all right. They don't even think I can talk anyway. But I do know that a church has to be given the power to have the power. And the first church was given the power, and they gave it to the next church and the next church and the next church. And so I want to look at some things. Paul said to examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Very simple tonight, very simple message. And I'm thinking that in some things that's been said tonight, I've struggled. All day with what to preach. I had an outline for the week a couple weeks ago. And anyway. But I think I know what we might preach tomorrow night. And if so, I am looking forward to it.
Amen.
And but tonight, very simple message. Very, very simple. And so Paul said to that church had a lot of problems. Remember the church at Corinth? They had all kinds of problems. I mean, they had immorality going on. They weren't dealing with it. They had people getting drunk, calling it the Lord's table. And so they had a lot of problems in that church. And Paul said, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. You know what I've learned? I've learned that just because people are in church and just because their name's on the roll don't mean they're saved.
Come on, that's right.
I want to look at some things, and I'm trying to determine which way to go, how to do it. Well, let's do it this way. Go to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Now, I like to read Baptist books. I'm not interested in reading Methodist books or Presbyterian books or Pentecostal books or Catholic books. I like to read Baptist books. I got one in front of me, by the way. And there was a fellow by the name of Elder Hall in the turn of around 1900. He published the Baptist flag. And he said, give your people Baptist doctrine. Even if they don't like it, they'll learn to like it and it'll be good for them. And I paraphrase that. And he talks about the Bible being Baptist doctrine. Matter of fact, it says that Baptist doctrine is Bible doctrine and Bible doctrine is Baptist doctrine. You ought to read some of these old preachers and old writings. His name was Elder J.N. Hall. I got a whole file about him on my computer, things that he said, and very, very wise stuff, encouraging to me. So I like doctrine. If you read 1 Timothy, Paul wrote to the preacher, and over he says, doctrine, 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 doctrine. And some people say, well, you know, I don't like all them doctrinal messages. Well, how can you have a message without doctrine?
Come on, amen. That's right.
I was talking to you at supper tonight. Y'all pray for me. It's rough, I'm telling you. And, you know, y'all pray for my family. They have to put up with this all the time. And I was telling them about, I got to watching, I'd go to, you know, fundamentalist churches, you know, fundamental Baptist churches. And I finally figured out that they didn't have to do a lot of studying because they only had two messages. They had one, you need to be saved. And two, you can do it. And I just get there and figure out which one you're going to preach tonight. You know, you'd say it a little different way, but that's basically what I heard over and over and over. You need to be saved, and if you're saved, you can do it. By the way, I'm going to say this again. God did not call you to be a super Christian.
Amen.
He called you to be a faithful church member.
Amen.
And He's not telling you you can do it. He's telling you to get within the body, and you will survive there.
Amen.
That's where you're supposed to be, within the body. And that's crucial and very, very important. But to be within the body, to genuine, you can have your name on the roll. I think you mentioned. Sometimes it's hard to say things. I And I sometimes say stuff that I shouldn't say, and I do it from a genuine heart. We have 5 boys, and 2 are still at home. Stephen's at home. He just started a job in October. JD's here with you, just sang with his sisters a while ago. He has 3 older brothers that are out of the home. Some years ago, I went on a Baptist history tour. And we was on one of them little buses, and a lot of cutting up going on and stuff. But there was a preacher, and if I called his name, some of you probably know his name. But he was on that bus, and my 3 sons questioned him with questions he didn't have answers for on local church doctrine. You said they could walk in here and fool you. There, one of them. Well, one of them's going to church and doing pretty good, but they knew the words. They could. I mean, literally, they talked to this preacher on the bus, and the next time the bus stopped, he got on another bus and wouldn't get back on our bus. But today, 2 of them, not even church members. You can know the facts. Yeah. You can be in the water. You can have your name on the book here. And you can be lost and on the way to hell. Yeah. Matthew chapter 21. I told you I like to read Baptist books. I was reading some years ago. I like to go deer hunting. So what do you do when you go deer hunting? I pray and read the Bible. You say, well, you just sound spiritual. I'm telling you the truth. I like to sit out there when the sun's coming up and praise the Lord. And every once in a while, I even shoot a deer. And God does care. I like that, brother. I prayed for tears too. I had cried, and it dried up, and I prayed, and God gave me tears again. One day a couple years ago, I went hunting. And I was out there in the stand, and I was agonizing over things. I was worrying. You know, in Psalms 34, it says something. I'm going to give you about 15 messages, and probably not the one we're planning on. Is that all right? I was preaching one time in Wisconsin and that on a Sunday morning, and got done, and the preacher said, thank you for all 6 of those messages. And you know what it says over there in Psalm 34? It says in verse number 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Then why am I still fearing? I read that a couple weeks ago, and I just hadn't been able to get away from it. Anyway, I was out there in that deer stand, and I was talking to the Lord about these problems that he needed to fix and how he needed to fix them. And he was probably tired of hearing it. But I said, Lord, should I even pray for a deer? By the way, do y'all know that God still speaks? Bible says in Hebrews, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. Well, it says it 3 times. And Lord, we may talk about that this week. But anyway, I said, Lord, should I even pray for a deer? He said, that's what you're out here for, ain't you? He said, ain't. He was talking in North Carolina. And He speaks the language that we can hear. Amen. Yeah. They heard Him speak in their own language in Acts chapter 2, didn't they? Yeah, and so He said, ain't. And anyway, I said, okay, Lord, please let me see a deer. And I went back to fretting and trying to get him straight stuff out. And I saw something in my peripheral vision. I looked and I saw horns go by. I said, thank you, Lord, for letting me see a deer. Well, lo and behold, they passed by another opening. I said, oh, wow, this is getting serious. And I raised my rifle up. And they passed by another opening. I got my rifle against the post, and I got it sighted in. And my sons, they helped me out. They told me where to aim it that far away because they're more into this stuff than I am. And so, lo and behold, sure enough, it finally comes out. When I first saw it, it probably wasn't, what was it, JD, 50 yards at the most, 30 maybe down there. But by the time it got to where I could get a shot, what was that? How far was that? 250 yards. And so I had it up on the post, and I had it all sighted in. As soon as it stepped out there, I squeezed the trigger, and that thing dropped in its tracks. Never took another step. 8-point. Oh, it was pretty. What are you trying to say? I'm saying God cares about those things too. He does. I didn't even really go out there looking for a deer, and He gave me one. God loves her. He loves her. He cares about those things. And so anyway, that was just free. That had nothing to do with the message. But I like to go to the deer stand, and y'all all right? Some of you looking a little peaky there. I ain't worried about you. Anyway, preacher, I got liberty, and I hope I help you in some way, but I'm enjoying myself.
Amen.
I'm enjoying the Lord. What I'm trying to tell you is I was in a deer stand one day reading a Baptist history book. Now you know why I don't get many deer. But I was reading a Baptist history book. I was reading D.B. Ray's Baptist Succession. And I'm reading the book in the deer stand. And I got over there and he starts talking about what Baptists believe. And he made this statement. He said, repentance before faith, faith before the water, water before the table. I went, wow, I ain't never heard that before. I've been in Baptist church all my life. Repentance before faith, faith before the water, amen, water before the table. I went, huh. I commenced to studying on that. Now, that was about 10, 12 years ago. I'm still studying on it. I'm slow, all right? But what I found is that there's four verses in the Bible with repentance and faith. Now, before we get to that, let me say this. God is a God of order.
Amen.
Now, your pastor is a preacher of order. I mean, his desk is an actual desk. You can actually use it. Don't look at my desk. It's a storage closet. And he's got a shop with all the stuff put where it goes. And I'm just going, wow. I didn't know you could actually do this. Man. You know, and we did some work out there today, and we got done. He said, you go on in there. I don't think he wanted me to put anything back because he'd done seen my house. And he wanted to put it back himself. And so anyway, he put it back where it goes. And he didn't need my help with that. Anyway, so God is a God of order. He does everything in order. Everything that God does is in order.
Amen.
He does nothing out of order. When God created the world, He tells us what He did on day one, day two, day three, day all the way up. You ever thought about, you know, God made cows. What day was that? I always forget. What? Day six, God made cows. And so before that, we didn't have to worry about the green earth and the stuff. We didn't have any cows. But anyway. All right. So anyway, think about this. He made cows on day six. What if there'd been a cow on day two?
Yeah.
There wasn't even any dirt visible. It was all water. So if there'd been a cow on that, they don't breathe good in water. If y'all don't know that the cows do not have gills. All right. They do not breathe in water. They drowned. All right. They don't swim good either. I've seen them. They don't handle that stuff real good. If it had put a cow on day two, it would have died. It'd have drowned. Because God does everything in order. Out of order is death.
Amen. Yeah. That's good. That's good.
It's death.
Amen.
Now let's look at this in Matthew 21. Jesus, they come to Jesus, and I may come back to this week, so I'm not going to spend time here, but if you know the passage, he comes in, they ask him, where'd you get your authority? He said, I'll answer your question if you answer my question. He said, John's baptism. Can I just park right there, because I just got to say this. Jesus wasn't doing the way I wrote my high school papers. What do you mean? You know, the teacher said it had to be so many words or so many pages, so I had the first sentence and the last sentence and figured out a bunch of junk to put in between. Bunch of filler, bunch of fluff. This ain't fluff and filler. This is God in the flesh talking. And when he asked a question about John's baptism becomes important.
Amen.
And so he asked that question and they lied about it. You know the story. He said, all right, I ain't answering you. But he gave them something anyway. That's Jesus. That's God. And he go on down and we'll just pick up. He gives them a little parable about two fellas and the daddy tells them to do something. And the first one said no, but he repented, it says. And he went and did it. The second said, I'll do it. And he never did it. He said, which one did right? And they said that the second one. And then he goes on in verse number 31, whether them twain did the will of his father. They said unto him, the first. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. By the way, can I just pause right there for a minute too? I know from talking to your preacher, that man, I'm enjoying myself in liberty, but I am very nervous to preach here. He is so knowledgeable in doctrine. And so it makes me nervous. So I know you understand a lot of things about the kingdom. And that is vital and very, very important. This is one of the verses that really spoke to my heart. Almost 2,000 years ago, publicans and harlots were going into the kingdom. Right. What is typically understood about the kingdom is it's one day down the road. Yeah. No.
Amen.
Almost 2,000 years ago, publicans and harlots were going into the kingdom. Right. And if we read in context, it had a little bit to do with John's baptism.
That's right.
All right. Now, that's not our focus for being here right now, but you see that. And so the kingdom, that's the verse that spoke to me. I'm going, how'd they go in the kingdom if it ain't going to be till way down yonder somewhere? This don't make sense. And Jesus said in another place, they said, you cast out devils by Beelzebub. He said, no. He said, house divided cannot stand. He said, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you.
Amen.
He came, he established his kingdom when he was here. Behold, it said on the cross, the King of the Jews. What did the wise men say when they came looking? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? How can you be king without a kingdom? He's a king, he's a kingdom. His kingdom has laws and ordinances, and you understand a lot of that stuff. But this he said to go into the kingdom for you. Verse 32, for John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. Oh, my notes shut down. Bummer. All right. It just did. He said, for John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, notice this, repented not afterward that ye might believe. God is a God of order. Jesus just taught right there that you cannot believe without first repenting.
Amen.
That's what I read in that Baptist history book in the Deer Stand. Amen. Repentance before faith.
Amen.
I'd never heard that in my life. I was a pastor. I started churches. I had been out trying to lead people. Can I help you with something here? We say, well, you need to lead people to the Lord. How? I'm a how-to guy. You know, we're coming down the road to get here, and I'm going, what lane do I need to be in? Which way are we turning next? And Ray Ray's sister ain't gonna ride with me no more. And I got Ray Ray, I ain't got anybody else. But anyway, I'm a how-to guy. How? You ever been? Do you understand? This is the basics. This is the basic. Repentance. Then faith.
Amen.
Repentance, then faith. That's what Jesus said. Look over there in Mark chapter number 1. Mark chapter number 1. It says over there in Mark chapter number 1. And again, we find this fellow, John, mentioned again. He says in verse number 14, Jesus is preaching. He said, or he's about to. It said, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. We hope to talk a little bit maybe this week, God allows, about the gospel. But let's go on. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God. Is it not, this is not really a message on the kingdom of God, but I guess it is. You know, the kingdom of God will be at hand in 2,000 plus years.
Yeah, come on.
That's what we all just read, though. before you were taught what you've been taught for the last couple of years and what I've been learning. That's what we. That's what's read by a typical Baptist.
Yeah, right.
Can I say that a little differently? That's what's read by typical binos.
Right. Come on, that's right.
Amen.
I don't know what a bino is.
Come on.
I was preaching one time. I don't know what a rhino is in politics. Yeah. A Republican in name only. So now you know what a bino is? A Baptist in name only. And I made a statement. I'm no bino. Brother Avery Smith made me a t-shirt. I think I got it with me. He says, I'm no bino. I got them too. I didn't bring none of them. But he made me a coffee cup. Says, I'm no bino. And I give them out to preachers. I find out that are real bad. Says, did I give you one? Oops, oh well. Moving on. I guess we'll go home now. This meeting's over. It was good to have been here and met y'all. Good pizza. We enjoyed it. Oh, man, we have pizza evangelists, ain't we? It's Friday night, we ate pizza. That's what Brother Beller used to say. Mark chapter 1. Y'all quit that. Mark chapter number 1. Jesus, the Bible says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. It's here, so now what? Repent ye and believe the gospel. How many have ever heard it said, repentance and faith are two sides of the same coin? Remember, I preached that before. I did. I used to preach that. Repentance and faith are two sides of the same coin. I mean, you just can't separate them. I didn't understand. No, repent ye and believe. He said in Matthew, he said, you repented not afterward that ye might believe. Here he's telling, repent ye and believe. Go to Acts chapter 20, I think it is. Acts chapter 20. Are y'all recording this? We'll get accused of having a laughing revival. Acts chapter 20. Paul is talking to the elders from the church at Ephesus. All right. He calls for them. This is his last time to see him. He's talking about what God's done. He says in verse number 20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There you see it again. Repentance and faith. Can I just jump ahead of myself for a moment? If you've never repented, you're not saved.
That's right. Amen.
Well, I believe in God. Well, the demons believe in trouble. That's not saving faith.
Amen.
Saving faith must be preceded by godly sorrow that worketh repentance, not to be repented of. We've got to have repentance before we can have faith. I wanted to give you my testimony tonight, but we've been so long. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. You're familiar with this, I'm sure. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews. It's in here somewhere. Philemon Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. You know, y'all familiar with the milk of the word, right? You know what this is. All right. Notice what it says here. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. I do need to give you my testimony. Will y'all let me do that? My wife and I used to kind of tell this joke when we were traveling, especially doing deputation. I'd say we grew up in the same church. We met in the nursery, so we don't send our children to the nursery. You never know what might happen. But anyway, and that's probably true, that we probably did meet in the nursery because we grew up going to the same church. But anyway, as a 9-year-old boy, our church always had revivals, the Southern Baptist Church. They always had revival the first full week of August. And we going to that church, we always sat on the pew that my wife's on this side, and there was two pews in front of us. Nobody ever sat on the front pew. I don't know why, but you can't sit there. I'm beginning to wonder if somebody warned y'all this guy be spitting and slobbering and stuff all y'all back yonder. But give me an inferiority complex. I'm looking a little. I'm going to have to go find me a safe space and cry. But anyway, we always sit there. And it was revival, and it was Saturday night. We was probably working in the garden or something, and we got there a little bit late, and we sat in the back pew right back there on that side. And the preacher preached. I don't know what he preached. He gave an invitation. I stepped out behind my daddy in the aisle. And after the invitation was over, there was people coming by shaking my hand, and a lady. Now, my birthday is July 15th. Y'all remember that? You can send me presents. But my this is August, so it's only a couple weeks later. And so I'm standing over here, and I'm 9 years old, just turned nine, less than 3 weeks ago. And a woman comes by and says, "How old are you?" And I said, "I'm 8. I was so shook up, I didn't even know how old I was. I must have been saved. My wife and I got married. We was 19. And we had two children, two girls. We was in a mess. She even loaded up two kids to leave me one time. I thank God for a good mother-in-law. Mama sent her back home. That's part serious.
Amen.
So I was in the Air National Guard, and I signed up to cross train. They sent me to Biloxi, Mississippi, Keesler Air Force Base to train in computer maintenance. And I went down there, and so I grew up going to church, so we started going to church, First Baptist Church of Biloxi, Mississippi, big old Southern Baptist church, had, I don't know, 600-700 people. And we're going to church, and I knew I was in a mess. I knew my life was in a mess. They were just going to have a men's retreat. And I prayed. And I said, "Lord, if you want me to go to that men's retreat, you send somebody to ask me personally to go. I'm not talking about hearing it announced from the pulpit. I'm not talking about hearing it in Sunday school. I want somebody to come to me. I'm not trying to be ugly, God. I just don't know what in the world to do, and I'm asking for help." That was my heart. Next time we went to church, two men came. Talked to me. She was standing beside me, and one of them said, "I'll pay your way." It was an overnight thing, and I said, "I can't go and leave her. She don't know her way around her." And she's standing beside me, and she looked at me and said, "I'll be okay, honey." I still tried to get out of it, but I went to that men's retreat. We went to Paul B. Johnson State Park, Hattiesburg, Mississippi. I don't know who they were. They had two fellas there, and we had supper. And I'd grown up in church. I knew how to act. I was an ordained deacon. So, you know, I was behaving myself, just talking with the men there and whatnot. And so they get that first preacher up. And man, he preached. I'd never heard anybody preach that long. And they took a little break. And they got the second preacher up. And he preached about being in the family of God. I don't remember what all he said, but I knew God was dealing with my heart. And they gave an invitation, and we was in a little room there at that park, and men were getting down and kneeling. I didn't hardly know anybody. We hadn't been there but a month or two. I didn't know who these people really were, and only knew a few names. I remember watching them kneel down, and God smiting my heart. And I stepped out of my chair, and I walked around the back of that chair, and I walked out the door of that building outside, and it's pouring down rain. And I went around the corner of the building by myself, and I got down on my knees, and I cried out to God with rain running down my neck, and I said, "God, I've done it my way long enough. I want to do it your way."
Amen.
I remember distinctly what I said that night. My wife and I went to Mississippi last month to celebrate our anniversary early. 30 years ago, I went to that men's retreat. I told them when I went down there, they said, "What you going to do?" I said, "Tomorrow I want to go to Paul B. Johnson State Park. And I want to go find this place." And I went out there. She went out there with me. Pastor Miss Woody was with us. And we went out there. And And I first walked down and said, this ain't it. And the guy began to tell me how they would set it up for a meeting. I said, yeah, that's the way he had a pulpit. He said, yeah, that's what it set it up. And chairs, yeah, that's how they set it up. And I said, yeah, this is the place. This is the place. And I walked out. And I walked over there on the edge of the grass. And I kneeled down. It started raining. It started raining. God did that for me. 30 years ago, I kneeled down there and it was raining. I kneeled down there last month. It was raining. And I just thanked Him. I just thanked Him. You know, we were singing a while ago about every hour of every day. I just thanked Him. But here's what I'm trying to get to you. I didn't understand a lot of things. When I walked, that was an overnight thing. I walked back in the house on C Street, Keesler Air Force Base, Biloxi, Mississippi, the next day. When I walked through the door, she knew that I wasn't the man that walked out. So you can tell you that, testify to that. I was different. And then things got different. I started throwing things away. I started getting up and reading my Bible. I had to be in class in dress blues at 6 a.m., sitting at my desk, ready for class. I had to get up, take a shower. They wouldn't let me wear this. And so I had to shave. And if I wanted something to eat, I had to get up early and fix that. But after that night, kneeling down, I started getting up 15 minutes earlier than that so I could read my Bible. That didn't last long at all. 15 minutes wasn't enough. I started getting up 30 minutes. I was getting up 4 o'clock in the morning to read my Bible before I went and sat through class in the military. And I was writing sermons.
Amen.
But I came home and God did a whole lot of things in our life. And God called me to the ministry. And I'm telling you the truth. I sat in services as a preacher, as a pastor, as a church planner, as an evangelist, and heard preachers preach. And they'd preach on hell. And I go, God, I don't know. Because I was looking back at a 9-year-old boy when I stepped out and walked down the aisle, and a lady asked me how old I was. I go, God, I don't know. I got to the point, God, I don't care what anybody thinks. I don't care who knows I'm a preacher. I don't care. My wife didn't know what was going on. This went for years. I was preaching meetings. And I said, God, I want this settled. Repentance before faith. And that thing began to take root in my heart. And I began to understand that when I kneeled down in the rain that night and I said, God, I done it my way. I didn't say I repent. I didn't know to say that.
Yeah.
I said, God, I done it. My way's wrong and your way is right.
Amen.
And I want your way. Mm-hmm. That was repentance followed by faith.
Amen.
I can take you to the place that I realized that. And God pierced my heart with that truth. And I understood that in my 20s in 1989, when we were going into Desert Storm, that God saved me at Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Ever since the day that I've understood the doctrine,
amen,
I have never doubted my salvation. I remember distinctly sitting in a service and a fella got up to preach. If I called his name, you'd know him. He got up to preach, said he was going to preach to the young people and he was preaching on hell. And I went, oh Lord, here I go again. And he preached on hell and he dealt with it. And I remember the next day going, wait a minute. No, it didn't bother me because I know what the book says.
Amen.
I know that what the book says saves you happened to me. That's why this is so important to me. And I began to preach on repentance around the country. My wife might give you her testimony sometime about how when I was preaching on repentance in California and I was about to go up to preach and she starts bawling and tells me she's not saved because she's never repented. You want to see somebody saved. they're going to have to repent and then believe.
Amen. That's right.
In that order.
Right.
I take you back. Cow on day two is death.
Yep.
Faith without repentance is eternal death.
That's right. That's good.
Amen.
It's got to be repentance and then faith. I was preaching in a missions conference. Yeah, it was a mission conference, wasn't it? How long ago was that, Hannah? I preached on repentance and faith. I sat down on the front pew. The preacher was giving an invitation, and Hannah walked up. Told me she'd never repented. Trusted Christ as her Savior that night.
Amen.
There's another missionary in his family there. If I called his name, you'd know him. His daughter in her early 20s. After Hannah was saved and she gave a testimony and the preacher said, anybody else got a testimony? She's sitting about where y'all sitting, my brother Lando. And she raised her hand and she started testifying about how she had doubted her salvation. Missionary daughter, walk in here, dress modestly, sing godly songs, never talk ugly, ain't interested in batting her eyes at boys. That would be her testimony at the time. She told me about how she spent 2 hours with her pastor at the time and told him she was not saved, and he told her she was. By the way, that pastor is not a fundamentalist. He's a local church Baptist. Repentance before faith is how people are saved.
Amen.
And that's the only
Amen.
Way people are saved. You cannot be saved without repenting, and you cannot be saved without repenting before you believe.
Amen.
You see, you've got to repent of what you were trusting. That's why Paul said in Hebrews chapter 6, repentance from dead works. People are doing things that they're trusting. And when they're trusting things, they're going to have to repent of those things, whatever it may be. Good works, family, heritage, whatever. They got to repent of trusting that before they can trust what Jesus has done.
Amen.
Repentance and faith in that order. Preach this in mission conference. Missions is not just in Japan and Australia. It's right here in Albuquerque.
Amen.
And you ought to be having a part in it. And you need to know how to tell somebody how to be saved. They need to repent and then by faith trust Christ.
Amen.
In that order.
Amen.
But then the question for us tonight, when? You know, many times people say, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? I want to know if you know you repented.
Yeah, amen.
That's what I want to know. When did you repent?
Come on.
Tell me about the time you repented. I never forget that night on my knees.
Amen.
I never forget that night on my
amen.
Knees. When did you repent? When did God deal with your heart and bring you to the point of biblical repentance? By the way, it's part we so much more we want to say, but repentance, you say, how do I know if I repented? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 11. Godly sorrow worketh repentance not to be repented of. Let's go there for a minute. Let's just look at that tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Y'all all right?
Amen.
If you ain't, you can be. Well, glory, hallelujah, Jesus rescued me. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, he said, he's talking to this church, it's got all this ungodliness in it, and they begin to do some things and try to get it right. And he said, for behold, this selfsame thing that you sorrowed after. By the way, godly sorrow, godly repentance is being sorry for what you done.
Yeah.
Worldly sorrow is being sorry you got caught.
Yeah, man. That's exactly right.
When you're sorry for what you did, that's godly sorrow.
Amen.
When you're sorry for the consequences that you're going to have to endure, that's worldly sorrow.
Yep.
For behold, this self same thing that you sorrowed after a godly sort, and then it lists seven fruits of repentance. Can I just say something here? I tried to bring it out a while ago. But fruits are not something you work up.
Right.
If you planted spinach seed and you grow green peppers, you better go talk to the people that sold you the spinach seed.
Yeah. Amen.
Because the fruit is a natural product.
That's right. Amen. That's good, brother.
When there is repentance, these seven things will happen. You will not have to work them up, build yourself up. I'm going to have this. I'm going to have all these seven things. I'm going to. No, 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 no. When I say, when did you repent? And you look at these seven things, you look at that. It says, for behold, this same thing that you sowed after a godly sword. What carefulness. All of a sudden, you're careful about things. And I could go into many things here. It says, what carefulness, what indignation, what fear. That's fear of God. You know what happened? I began to read my Bible. I didn't know what to do after that night. I knelt on my knees. I went to a bookstore. I bought a new Bible. I read it cover to cover. It wasn't the King James, I'm sorry, but I didn't know any better. But I read it cover to cover, notes and all. I read everything, and I didn't even know where to read. But I remember that my uncle taught me as a little boy in church about Proverbs, and I started reading Proverbs, and Proverbs says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. I said, Lord, I need wisdom. I began to study that thing. It said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I said, Lord, I ain't even started. That's the beginning. Oh, the fear of God. I begin to study the fear of God. You'll find it in Genesis. You'll find it in Exodus. You'll find it in Leviticus. You'll find it in Numbers. You'll find it in Deuteronomy. You'll find it in Revelation. The angel preaching the everlasting gospel said, fear God.
Amen.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's part of repentance. A fear of God. That's what it says. These seven things will have happened in your life if you've repented. You won't be able to work them up.
Amen.
Fruit is a natural thing.
That's right.
All right? I like blackberries.
Amen.
I gotta go pick blackberries. I like them. Come in, stew them up, put some evaporated milk on them and some homemade biscuits and butter, and that evaporated milk will clabber in them hot berry juice, and man, you dip them biscuits in there. Oh man, I like it. But you walk up to that bush and there ain't no berries on it, I don't like it. I stomp them down. Briars and no berries, I ain't got no use for it.
Amen.
What I'm trying to say is a healthy vine is going to produce berries. You ain't got to beg it to. You ain't got to talk it into it. You ain't got to tell it needs to.
Come on.
Amen. It's going to do it.
Amen.
That's what happens with repentance. These seven things will happen.
That's
good. So the question for us tonight, number one, when did you repent? I ain't sure if I did or not. Are those seven things in your life?
Come on.
You can go on. We didn't read them all. Vehement desire. Have you all of a sudden got a desire for the things of God? I begin to get up, and nobody told me I need to get up and read my Bible before I went to class. Nobody told me I ought to read so much Bible. Nobody told me I needed to read five chapters a day to read it through in a year. I just read it and couldn't get enough of it.
Amen.
What vehement desire. What zeal. Wow. I began to write out sermons. You know what I wrote about? Playing church. I wrote sermon after sermon about playing church because that's what I'd done. Remember, I was an ordained deacon, a lost ordained deacon. What zeal? What revenge? I wasted so much time. Now I want to serve Him.
Amen.
I want to live for Him.
Amen.
I prayed coming over here. We've driven 1,800 and some miles since we left our home Tuesday morning. I'd set that little thing on the dash, you know, to register it for you. And I saw it while ago, 1,834 miles before we left to come to supper. And I prayed over and over and over, God, I want to preach what you want me to preach. When I was driving, I was praying, God, I want to serve you. I want to live for you. That's what I want to do. Has that happened in your life? If not, you need to get that thing settled. You didn't need to be able to explain all that when you got saved. I couldn't. If you'd have asked me 30 years ago at that state park, did you repent? I'd have went, I don't know. What's that mean? But when I understood it, and it took years, I wish somebody would have told me this then.
Amen.
I wish somebody would have taught me these doctrines then.
Amen.
I wish I could have been in a church then that would have settled me, baptized me. By the way, if you ain't got biblical baptism, you're missing out on some things. That's a whole other message.
Amen.
But I wish I'd have had that back then. But once I understood it and it's been settled, I've never doubted my salvation. I've heard people, you probably heard them, I could swing over hell on a rotten corn stalk. That's what they say where we're from a lot. I'm thinking to myself, I've heard a lot of them and I've listened to them and I went, are you trying to convince me or you? I'm not sure. Because I'm just telling you, I know from the book. I don't know because I had a feeling. Oh yeah, I shed some tears that night. Oh yeah, the rain was running down my neck. Oh yeah, it didn't matter to me. I didn't go out there because I went out there because I wanted to be alone with God.
Amen.
And I was talking to Him. And He was listening and talking to me.
Praise the Lord.
That's what I wanted. When did you repent?